Okay. Let's see. This is newspaper, yeah, paper 115, section 6, which is old single column, page 1265. Okay, we don't think we need any real spin-up preface here. They're going to give us another dose of this picture that, I guess I should say, is going to give us another dose. The author of this series of papers can give us another dose of this very obvious process that he's trying to lead us through. And starting with what he knows we've challenged ourselves to have, you know, in getting up to this point, a notion of the seven absolutes of infinity. And, you know, he's leveraging off that initial idea of the fundamental underpinnings of reality to try to get us to see more of the picture. Because to really understand the supreme, like we've, you know, they were emphasizing over and over and over again last week and the previous two sections, the Trinity is essential to the nature of the supreme. And this Trinity, Paradise Trinity, is not one of the seven absolutes of infinity. So there's an obvious, you know, issue there that if that's all you have, how do you really understand? But they very cleverly created, you know, a pivot in that they've started in this paper to, and the, you know, the process we saw, remember, was introduced early on with by taking those seven absolutes of infinity and breaking it into three groups: the original, the actual, and the potential. And by doing that, then to really to bring in the idea of those first two triodities, you know, which are just the association, you know, the first one, the triodity of actuality, is the eternal sun, the Isle of Paradise, and the conjoint actor. You know, so those three absolute actuals. So, you know, so now three of the seven are kind of put together into one, but recognizing there's a definite threefoldness in play that we know is going to be there for the pattern of the cosmos. And then the deity absolute, the universal absolute, you know, unqualified absolute, you know, are the three absolute potentials. And we'll see as we start here how, you know, you can tell by the title of the section that they're going to touch back on that and then, you know, try to build some more on that sort of re-understanding of the seven absolutes of infinity. And we'll immediately jump into what we've been using a lot, you know, to really take on the Trinity directly and God the Mother. Who wants to start us off here? Got a reader? Got a reader? I don't know. Jeanette's looking like she's going to volunteer, I think.
Well, I can volunteer, except for that I'm still a little hoarse, so
That's okay.
I could hardly speak at all 2 weeks ago.
Paper 115.
Hey, Pam, she said she was hoarse. Will you be able to
help her? Okay.
Relation of the Supreme to the Triodities. The Triodity of Actuality continues to function directly in the post-Havona epochs. Paradise gravity grasps the basic units of material existence. The spirit gravity of the eternal sun operates directly upon the fundamental values of spirit existence, and the mind gravity of the conjoint actor unerringly clutches all vital meanings of intellectual existence. But as each stage of creative activity proceeds out through uncharted space, it functions and exists farther and farther removed from direct action by the creative forces and divine personalities of central emplacement, the absolute Isle of Paradise, and the infinite deities resident thereon. These successive levels of cosmic existence become, therefore, increasingly dependent upon developments within the three absolute potentials of infinity.
Okay, so let's just start with those two paragraphs. They're very purposely constructed to really have the first paragraph is the three absolute actuals, and then bringing in the three absolute potentials in the second paragraph. So what they want to invoke in your mind here is the relationship of those actuals and potentials to the Supreme in the sevenfold. So if you remember, the sevenfold has two parallel expressions, a personality side and a power side. You know, the creators and the controllers. Okay? And if you picture those seven levels of the sevenfold with the three biggies on the top, you know, the origin on the very top with the universal father on one side and the universal controller, you know, the personal expression, the power expression of the first source and center on the top, and then notch down you have the eternal sun and the Isle of Paradise, and then in the third notch down you've got the conjoint actor and the infinite spirit, the personal side of the third source and the power side of the third source. So that's that first paragraph. You know, visualize those three levels of the sevenfold, the top three, tied to that. And then when you get down to the bottom three levels, where you have the supreme creators and the supreme controllers, you know, and bringing in, you know, remember we've talked about that process of, you know, from matter through mind to spirit to giving rise to the Almighty, the power facet of the Supreme, you know, related to those bottom three. Now that's that second paragraph. See, it's sandwiched in between those two paragraphs is where you have the Supreme Being and the Almighty Supreme, you know, the personal side and the power side. And we know that from our time viewpoint, that that interface between these two domains, the upper domain and the lower domain, is in the process of evolution. Okay, so by just constructing it that way, you know, that's really the main point of really so emphasizing those two triodities, so that you can use them as the seven absolutes through the triodities as the inroad to get an initial understanding or recognition of what the sevenfold is. Okay? And then recognize it has this interface layer, the supreme layer in the middle, okay, that we're wanting to understand better, as we're going through these papers. So that's what they're invoking in the beginning there. Okay. Now, let's think a little bit more again about exactly how the Supreme gets expressed. You see, they're going to touch on some of the themes that we just went through, but they wanted to remind you of how important, you know, not just the Trinity is to the Supreme, but the sevenfold, to really understand, you know, how things come down from on high down to the finite level through the sevenfold, and that gets you the other aspect of the Supreme, the Almighty aspect of the Supreme, whereas the Trinity is giving rise to the Mother aspect. Yeah. So they're obviously going to, they want to, definitely have this notion of the Almighty firmly in mind, because you know what the next paper is. That's the Almighty Supreme. So we're moving in that direction. So just keep in mind that they're wanting to really have a good initial understanding of that before we get to the next paper, of how the Almighty fits into the picture.
Okay. The Supreme Being embraces possibilities for cosmic ministry that are not apparently manifested in the Eternal Sun, the Infinite Spirit, or the non-personal realities of the Isle of Paradise. This statement is made with due regard for the absoluteness of these three basic actualities, But the growth of the Supreme is not only predicated on these actualities of deity and paradise, but is also involved in the developments within the deity, universal, and unqualified absolutes.
Okay, and a key thing to bring away from that is just reminding yourself again, you know, it's very automatic to understand the absoluteness that's in play in the top three levels there of the sevenfold. But don't forget that there's absoluteness in play in the bottom three levels too. The potentialities are just as absolute as the actualities. Yeah. See, so that statement, you know, apparently, you know, manifested, you know, that whole bit there, you know, yeah, I mean, due regard for the absoluteness, you know, which is so obvious with the actualities, but, you know, they want you to start to really think of the literalness, you know, and the absoluteness of the three potentialities as well, and what we, you know, from a time viewpoint, call potentialities, but from an eternal viewpoint, you know, are no such thing. Okay? You know, and if anything, you can begin to appreciate that by doing what we did back with total deity and really reminding ourselves of how you could take those from the bottom-up viewpoint, our reservoirs, potentialities, when you turn them around, they're three facets of deity. Remember? The infinite upholder, the infinite capacity, and the infinite potential. You know, so just the fact that you can, you know, you can think of turning them around and having three facets of deity should remind you of the literalness of them. You know, they're not just, you know, what will be sometime. They already are something, too. Okay. All right, so so you notice that then there's a big break, see, the paragraph. See, so they got that little intro. They wanted to just kind of set up that whole tie back to the seven absolutes, and then they're going to launch into sort of the new understanding again.
Do you have any idea what these possibilities for cosmic ministry might be?
Well, the main thing is, we'll kind of get to that, but I mean, just, you know, think about the source of the seven absolutes, you know, the way we think about what the root of that is, the first source and center, where that's prior to any separation into spirit and energy, you know, personality and pattern, you know, that source of that whole expression is has spirit and energy innately together as one. But obviously another possibility is to have them definitively separated and then perfectly harmonized. That's something that's not there in that first source and center. The first source and center can give expression to the potential for that process of bringing them back together again, you know, by, you know, absolutely separating energy from spirit, for instance, in the aisle and in the eternal sun. You know, so he potentialized the Supreme, but the Supreme is something new that wasn't there in the original, you know, where there was no separation to bring together. Now there is an actual absolute separation that can be brought together. See, so that's, you know, and all that leads to. You know, just, I mean, that's the, you know, we don't need to try to go into all kinds of details. I mean, you get the idea. I mean, just the very fact that I have a challenge to try to take my consciousness of ideals and face facts in order to achieve wisdom. Okay? That doesn't happen in the Father. There's no separation between facts and ideals in the Father. You know, or even, you know, any sort of need for resolution between the separation between the Isle of Paradise, the absolute of individuality, and the, you know, the substance of the Eternal Son, the absolute of unity, that's already been perfectly and completely brought together through the absolute mind of the third source and center. Okay, that's all done. You know, but I have to work on that. You know, the facts aren't automatically together with, you know, my consciousness of ideals. I have to struggle to try to find a way, find the wisdom to bring those together. You know, and so there's a whole opportunity for beings in the universe to minister to me, to help me with that process. You know, on and on. Just think about, because there's differential, there's all this new possibility. Okay, now where do they take us?
The Supreme not only grows as the creators and creatures of the evolving universes attain to godlikeness, but this finite deity also experiences growth as a result of the creature and creator mastery of the finite possibilities of the grand universe. The motion of the Supreme is twofold, intensively toward paradise and deity, and extensively toward the limitlessness of the absolutes of potential.
Okay. Let's just note a couple things, new things you're bringing into play. Maybe a first thing that should have caught your eye, since we've, even before they said twofold, you know, you should be looking for times when they're saying, well, from this, you know, perspective, it's like this, but from this perspective, it's like this. You know, notice when they start out, they say creatures and creators and creatures. And then the next time, they say the other in the other order, creature and creator, purposely flipping the order. To set you up for that challenge. Can you look at it both ways at the same time? You know, because if you can't understand the Supreme. You have to be able to have both eyes open and see it from both perspectives. So just in the construct of the lead-in, see, they're doing that by flipping the order there. Yeah.
The other thing is that the first one is plural.
Right.
We often think of, okay, the big thing, all the creatures, all the billions of creatures, and the creators, plural. And back to your question there, Michael, is, you know, those potentialities, they're talking about you and the Supreme. And in what you come up with in relation to that creator is going to be totally different than what Victoria comes up with. It's going to be, you know, everybody, and that's where that super additive stuff is just goes wild. It's, you know, it's not, we're not going to come up with the same stuff. You know, right now, we've got the same language for different characteristics and qualities and whatnot, but our lives are totally unique, and then you stretch that out for millions of years. Man, it's going to be really unique. I won't even recognize you in a couple of million years. Well, I might.
You know her by her soul.
All right. Now, just okay, yeah, Jason. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Yep. And maybe I don't like the word separate, but I looked it up, and it's kind of confusing. Can I use the word? Can I use the word in synonymous like differentiate? Differentiation.
Right. But it's very important to not let your spiritual consciousness shy you away. From the word separate. You know, you need to let your material consciousness have a voice there and say to that spiritual consciousness, you know, I know that you feel tension relative to that word, but we need to face facts. The Isle of Paradise and the Eternal Sun, you know, or the Unqualified Absolute and the Deity Absolute, actually are separate. They are absolutely separated. They're infinitely separated. Okay, they are separate. But that doesn't put them into island universe status. You know, there isn't this domain over here that if you stumble into, you never you'll never enjoy spirit again, or vice versa. You know, they are literally separate. They are differentiated. You know, they are individuated, you know, et cetera. All those words like that. To, you know, it's not all one. Okay, but it has its roots in unity, the I Am. So, and the I Am was totality, was everything. So if you know, if I'm recognizing the literalness of this separation, and there wasn't separation to start with, and it was totality, the unity couldn't have just vanished into thin air. It must still be there somehow. Can I see how there is still the unity and the individuality at the same time? You know, that's the challenge. Now, creator mastery. You know, let's just pick up a couple little things here in this paragraph. Like a creator son mastering a process and then being called a master son. Okay, that, you know, that's why he's called a master son, because he has achieved, you know, there is a result of a creator son mastering, you know, a certain measure of the finite possibilities of the grand universe. Okay, that's why he's called a master son, because he has mastered. Okay, so they're tying that mastery to growth. We know growth was tied to the Almighty, you know, and so obviously this, the first part is going to be pointing you towards the mother side, you know, just so the fact that there's two parts of that initial sentence, you know, it's then when it says the motion of the Supreme is twofold. Okay, we know what those are. We've been talking about those for a long time now. We know those two motions, and we have names for them. You know, and notice it's just the Supreme. They're just trying to get you to think about the deity, not God the Supreme, but just the deity, the Supreme. You know, and that Supreme deity facet has two facets that you can understand it via: the Almighty and the Mother. You know, that's the twofold. Intensively towards paradise and deity, that flow is the Mother. And extensively toward the limitlessness of the absolutes of potential. That's the Almighty. Those are the two flows. And see how they pick that up now. That's kind of abstract. And so they want to try to bring that home a little bit. Look at the next paragraph.
In the present universe age, this dual motion is revealed in the descending and ascending personalities of the grand universe. The supreme creator personalities and all their divine associates are reflective of the outward diverging motion of the supreme, while the ascending pilgrims from the seven super universes are indicative of the inward converging trend of supremacy.
Okay. Two things again. Notice the little subtle differences of wording. They're trying to nudge you towards the truth. The one says motion of the supreme, and the other says trend of supremacy. Purposely using these different words because they want you to recognize something. Okay, what is it? Well, we're talking about descending and ascending personalities. So let's remind ourselves what that is. Okay, start with the descending. The creator sons start on the Isle of Paradise. Part of what a creator son is literally the father-type deity. You know, together as one with the sun type deity, and then personalized as a creator sun. Okay. So by nature, it has father-like actuality in it, you know, the self of that creator sun. So and it's a creator being. A creator being is by nature a revealing phenomenon. So that creator son leaves paradise. As soon as it's out and about, it's going to be expressing its nature because it's a creator. It's going to be revealing. What is it going to be revealing? Its nature. You know, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Okay, it's revealing that nature. You know, it's revealing God the Father just by being and doing. Okay. And before we finish that story, let's jump over to the ascending side. Okay, you and I are you know, at the beginnings of being ascending sons. The Father has done something with us too. Only instead of it being this full blown actuality, like the Creator Son, what does He give us? He gives us a potentiality, full-blown potentiality. Okay? But we're not a creator. We're a creature. So when we're out and about, we're not revealing just by nature. We're seeking. Creators reveal. Creatures seek. They might do other things too, but at the very least, they're doing that just because that's what they are. Okay? And so the Father potentializes you. And what do you set about doing? Seeking the Father. You know, He gave you the potential to seek Him. Just like He gave the Creator Son the actuality to reveal Him. An actuality and a potentiality from the Father makes the one God the Father revealing and the other God the Father seeking. Okay. Now, besides being that difference of creator and creature, we have something in common. We're both experiential beings. So, what does that do? I mean, because you're an experiential being, no matter whether you're revealing or seeking, whether you're a creator or a creature, you're going to be acquiring something. You're going to be growing. Okay, what does the Creator Son, while He's descending, acquire, and what do you and I, as ascending sons, acquire? Well, they're giving you a little clue here. The outward diverging motion of the Supreme, as that Creator Son is descending, being God the Father revealing, He's also acquiring a measure of God the Supreme, or a relationship to God, or that type of, you know, of the Supreme, that type of deity. And remember, fundamentally, one of the terms we used for that type of deity, the Supreme, we called it a creature, creator, unifying deity. If you remember, when going back to total deity, when we talked about that, and back to the forward. Creature, creator, unifying deity. In other words, you start it with a creator, and you tack on, you acquire creature likeness, you know, put them together as one, unifying. Okay, that's exactly what the Creator Son is doing in the seven besouls. He's taking His creator nature and in seven steps, tacking on, acquiring creature likeness, literally, you know, incorporating it into His being, unifying it into His being. You know, that's the Supreme. You know, by the time He's done with that, He's acquired a measure of the nature of the Supreme. Okay, that's what they're referring to there. And what are you and I doing, you know, as we ascend to paradise? Okay, well, we're not putting, you know, we're not doing really a power personality synthesis, or we certainly aren't doing creature creator unifying. We're not. And the little hint there is, you know, notice that they didn't say supreme there. They said supremacy. Okay. The other thing we talked about when we were really fleshing out total deity on that supreme level, that the level of the function, you know, when the functionality of deity on the supreme level is called supremacy. Okay? And one of the things that was happening there is, you know, the generation and then the functioning of the finite upholder, the finite mother. You know? As you go through the universe, God the Father seeking, you know, as an experiential being, you're accumulating not a measure of the nature of God the Supreme, measure of the nature of God the Mother. You're accumulating that nature. Okay? those are the two, these descending and ascending beings are a simple example, like they're saying, of this twofold flow. And why is that so intimately tied to the Supreme? Because, you know, like we said last time, obviously the mother one is direct, and the other one is supposed to be the Almighty. Well, this whole process, you know, if we take the absolute power from the universal controller, and we bring it down the power side of the sevenfold down into the supreme controllers, and then we bring it across from matter through mind to spirit into the supreme creators, you know, and then back up into supremacy. That's that whole process of them doing stuff, you know, of actualizing the potentials in the three potentialities is the flow of the Almighty. You know, it's flowing through the sevenfold. That circuit that you're creating is the flow of the Almighty. So this process of the Creator Son, you know, moving down and becoming a Master Son, you know, is part of that flow. So that's the Almighty flow. And then you and I, as ascending, you know, are caught up in the Mother flow. Okay, so that's the two flows there.
Somewhere in the Supreme Papers, there's a pretty clear thing about subjective and objective. Mm-hmm. As we're ascending, for a real long time, we're basically subjective beings. But as we expand our horizons, mm-hmm. we start to glean a measure of that objective reality. And so our subjective reality is expanding.
Right, and see how the obvious thing, you know that what gives you the ability to have objective consciousness right now is the gifts from, the local universe mother.
Yeah.
See? And so if you're accumulating, acquiring more of that nature, you're becoming more and more innately objective.
Right.
You're objective not because you're actively choosing to be objective over subjective. You're getting to the point where you just are objective by nature. So eventually when you're a finaliter, you are an expression of the measure of that objectivity of the whole.
Right. Yeah. And that was that uniqueness I was talking about. The other question, though, is that, the Michael son, you eloquently said as a descending son, came out and set up shop and is doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But now, he wasn't alone. He came out here with a daughter, with Nebadon, or whatever her name is.
Right,
and that's right. We another subject.
But right, it is. Let's just focus on let that picture grow. Okay. We'll eventually see the full picture, but notice that they're very purposely trying to constrain the thought in this paragraph to just seeing that much of it. There's a whole bunch of other things we could talk about too that are immediately tied into this, but just seeing that first thread of the picture. That you've got a clear demonstration of the two flows here that reflects the Supreme. All right.
Always is the finite deity seeking for dual correlation, inward toward paradise and the deities thereof, and outward toward infinity and the absolutes therein. The mighty eruption of the paradise creative divinity personalizing in the Creator Sons and powerizing in the power controllers signifies the vast outsurge of supremacy into the domains of potentiality. While the endless procession of the ascending creatures of the grand universe witnesses the mighty insurge of supremacy toward unity with paradise deity.
Okay, so they kind of restated there again, but they did, they did one little tweak. Remember, we started a bit abstract, then they went specific, and then they went back to the generalization again. And now notice that it's parallel. You have supremacy in both statements. It was there, in the prior two, but they purposely made them different. They made supreme and supremacy just so that you could think about, the God the Supreme acquiring and the God the Mother acquiring, and that difference. But the two flows at the level of supremacy our two flows of supremacy. The Almighty is a supremacy flow. That's a functioning of deity on the supreme level. And so is the Mother that we're talking about here. We're talking about the finite Mother. That's a flow, a functioning of deity on the supreme level. So they're both flows of supremacy. Okay. See, so they've dropped this back out from us. Now they're back to the thinking about the supreme. Just using us as a way of helping the reader to see how they fit in, and hence what your relationship is to the bigger picture. But the purpose is really to get an understanding of the big picture right now, not to think about all the details of you and your ascension career. Okay.
When you say two flows,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of one continuous loop. Mm-hmm. Loop going upwards is us going inwards towards deity and the supreme being, personality,
mm-hmm.
and then coming back out and around is going outward toward the universes again, and the power center and everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, building a stronger foundation at the energy level, and then coming back around through that, and then coming back up through us, because we live in that energy level,
mm-hmm.
we're partakers.
Yeah.
So yeah. I kind of look at, you know, us, myself aligning myself with that, you know, in my mind, you know, pointing toward paradise, you know,
mm-hmm.
The kingdom, you must be born again from above. So we get direction and then just trusting that the universe will start flowing,
right.
you know, and I'll have more energy and more yeah. physical energy
right.
to do right. the things yeah. that are needed for the tasks that
right.
I'm projecting.
Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then
yeah.
you know, the upwelling yeah. will come automatically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, you can see how this has a much greater truth context that we're playing in here. And you know, that's a nice, from my viewpoint, you know, from me as an individual viewpoint of those, the two flows. But then obviously it's also in the infinite eternal ellipse. You know, because the moment they... You know, focus this on level one at the top of the ellipse with the original, you know, and you know we were talking about this side, the first center side, you know, and the father. You know, there's obviously a flow from that original around the ellipse this way. But then, you know, right after that, they mentioned that the Trinity is part of the original too. In other words, there's another side to the original. You know, so there's a flow this way as well. You know, the Almighty is part of this flow, and the Mother is part of this flow. You know, so most fundamentally, that's why there's two flows, because the original is not an end point. It's a point along the on the infinite eternal ellipse. There's two sides. And so, you know, everything in the universe is real, is in motion. You know, there's two flows then. Flow this way and a flow this way simultaneously, and they're not in conflict. They're in perfect harmony. You know, and the fact that they're in perfect harmony when they meet over here at the level six, it actually gives rise to the Supreme. You know, those two flows come together as one in the Supreme right there. You know, and all everywhere else. I mean, one of the things places are coming together. You know, in the bottom level of the sevenfold, there it isn't just Creator Sons. There's also Creative Mother Spirits. Those are the two flows together. You know, in harmony. And of course, you know, that just begs the question, you know, for you to begin to pursue, you know, where the two sides are, you know, and it's not just the Creator Sons, and it's also the Ancients of Days and the Master Spirits, those other two levels down there. You know, there has to be, you know, at least hints somewhere in the book about the full two-flow picture of those other two levels. You know, how can you see both this direction and this direction? You know, in all three of those levels. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Was there anything else that we needed before I went forward there? Notice, like we've seen before, it's not just conceptually that you have two flows, or maybe you could say intensively, but it's always literal too, extensively. You know, and they're using that language to remind you that you can. You know, you literally have Creator Sons moving outward in the structure of the cosmos, you know, and ascending suns moving inward in the structure, you know, and the domains of most potentiality are out there in the outer space levels, you know, so, I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, the intent and the extent are always there, you know, makes it very easy to begin to picture this. You can literally picture it in the cosmos and, you know, and see it geometrically, and then just let that generalize in your mind to the full picture. Both the extent and the intent are have two flows like that.
The thing I noticed in this was within a few words was that whole thing about personalizing and powerizing,
Right.
Personal fusion, got those two sides of reality.
Right.
And there it is right there.
Yep. Yep. And so that's Almighty's the power side and the Mother's the, you know. Remember, that's why I pointed out, when you want to focus on the power pattern side of the Supreme, you refer to the Almighty. When you want to focus on the personal purposes side, that's the Mother.
So, for us going inward, it's, they refer to it as a long struggle, the whole way, not just here.
Right, right.
And, it's always you're always kind of in the dark. The uncertainty with security is the essence of the Paradise Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's hard about it for the other side of the flow? What is the challenge for the Creator Sons
nailed to the cross?
What'd you say?
He burns the nails to the cross.
Rather than, that's the whole point of the end of the last of these five papers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Again, it's pointing to that. I hate to kind of be a tease like that, but notice that the Revelators are a tease like that. They very purposely are taking this very methodically, and even if I can't fully appreciate all of the purpose of the way they've laid this out, I'm challenging myself to stay within the way they've laid it out. Don't try to jump ahead too much, and just let it build, because they're probably trying to get us to grow, and there's probably, it's probably more efficacious to do it that way. But the key for you to start thinking about there is, that internal difficulty you were speaking to in our journey, the Father is, almost forever very far off, until we actually are standing right there, then finally he's not far off. Even when you're on the first circuit of Avona, the Father is still really far off, okay? So far off that you have to lose consciousness to make the journey, but what isn't a far off through that whole journey? Well, there's that, but that's so much potential, initially. What actuality isn't afar? The Mother, the Upholder. No matter where you are in that journey, she's underneath you, And if you can begin to feel the intimacy of that relationship to the Mother, you can feel the closeness of the Father the other way around the ellipse. Yeah. He may be a long ways the one direction, but through the Mother, he's intimate all the time.
Yeah.
And we try to point out that, that's really one of the things that the Thought Adjuster brings, because it's so related to the Mother in many ways. It's the lastly of the Father, that infinite Upholder. It's the firstly of the Mother. See, so that other gift from the Father gives you this very definitive ability to truly be grounded in the Mother all the way, and have soul trust, even though you still have to have faith, because the Father is still out of sight, in the Father direction. You can begin to feel that anchoredness in the cosmos, even though you can't yet see. And so to take it beyond believe and yet have not seen, I don't believe that I'm being held. I know that I'm being held. Because I know the experience of the Mother. I know that underpinning that I feel within me. It's not my wishful thinking. I can feel the solidity underneath me.
What is it that you're feeling? What are the earmarks of the Mother support?
Again, without going on too big a tangent, just think about the fundamental things. The recognition that you're connected. This distinction is vital. For in a cosmic system, the individual members are not connected with each other, except in relation to the whole and through the individuality of the whole. Just recognizing that fact. I'm talking to you. I'm connected to you. Why? It's not because the Father has absolutely separated us, like Jason's pointing out. I mean, your personality is absolutely separate from my personality. And yet I feel I'm connected to you. So he didn't do that. How is it I'm connected? You know, it's in relate because we have a common relation to the whole and through the individuality of the whole. You know, and one of that, you know, the fundamental attributes of that upholding, what is she upholding? She's upholding the harmony, the universal harmony in mind and spirit. There is a harmony that you're tuned into and I'm tuned into, and to enough of a degree that we have ability to connect, no matter how ignorant we are of that. You know, and so, again, letting that fact be just as solid as an absolute actual. See, that's you know, like we were just pointing out, they're trying to get you to see this other side as being just as solid. You know, that it's not magic that this happens. It has to be literal. There has to be literally something in common that we're holding on to. Just recognizing that and starting to just look to it, you know, and it's like I'm seeing it. I know that it's there. Logically, I can see it. It's just as real as the experience of the laser beam Father in my mind. I can see that upholding just as clearly as the light from the Father. You know, that's what they're trying to challenge you to do, to see the both streams. What not just that stream that's coming around this way from the first center. You know, begin to see that other stream. See, this is coming, you know, to you and sparking you, and this is coming around the other side and holding you up underneath. You know, and you know, all you have to do is just wait a minute. I'm following the light of the Father, but you know, there must be a way. You know, she is the actual way. You know, the literal thing that you're walking on as you're ascending is her. You know, to take just as much recognition of the floor, you know, as the light that's drawing you, that you're seeking. Yeah. You're not just floating magically through the cosmos. You're standing on something. What is it? Yeah.
When Shane said uncertainty with security.
Mm-hmm. That's uncertainty with security is the essence of the paradise adventure.
Occurred to me was that before just a minute ago, I was looking at that as, okay, I have to resign myself to that weird concept. But now it occurred to me as, well, that's the floor, that's the faith. That's another definition for faith, is you don't resign yourself to it, you embrace it, that uncertainty with security. And then it solidifies, like what you were saying, and it gives you an anchor to that future self and that future reality, that potentiality that is actualizing.
I mean, I'm uncertain that I'm going to understand the next sentence in the book, but I'm secure in the knowledge that I will be here somewhere in the universe to try to understand the next sentence. Right? That's just a simple little thing, you know, that there's two things in play. I do not yet see the first source and center of all things, but I'm secure in the knowledge that there is a way, you know, that is underneath me, that's upholding me, and will always be there, you know, as long as it takes me.
You know, there's something that sort of begs in terms of the methodology in studying the Urantia book. There are a lot of people that come across the Urantia book that very quickly put it down. And it has to do with the results orientation that we as human beings tend to have. If we don't get an empirical kind of experiential connection with something, if we don't have that fact relation that you're talking about, if we don't have an experiment and then get a result that immediately corroborates that mm-hmm. it was valuable to do the experiment, mm-hmm. we say, what the hell am I doing this for? Mm-hmm. And the difference between people that stick with the Urantia book and those that don't is that they're willing to read the next sentence, even when they don't, when they know that they don't consciously grasp it. They know that part of them is getting it. They know that there's an element. And so that it's suggesting a pedagogy to approaching the book. You take the next step, like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, stepping off the cliff.
And sure enough, there's something there.
And there's a step there. Or like Norman Ingram, going all over the damn world, you know, this hazardous planet.
Well, it's not damned, but it is benighted.
Yeah, it is benighted. Thank you very much, John. God damn it, you need to correct me. Thank you. Thank you, God bless you. You know, so the fact is that, you know, there's a certain amount of courage involved in doing that. You know, in taking these kinds of steps, there are all kinds of examples of
courage and independence, to be exact.
Courage and independence.
Courageous and independent cosmic thinking.
Okay, so having made those faith steps, you know, every time you read the next sentence, whether you understand the previous one or not, you are taking a faith step that your thought adjuster honors in the superconscious. You are getting this superconsciously, whether you understand it fully consciously today or not.
But you sense it.
Yeah,
and you will get this eventually as and I won't even say it's an eternity experience. It's going to happen in time.
I mean, just,
but it requires that patience, that forbearance.
Definitely that patience. And just, you know, a little personal testimonial there. You know, you made me reflect on when I first found the book. Initially, I went to the next sentence by faith. Now I go by trust. I have absolute trust in the next sentence. I really don't exercise faith at all. I know with absolute certitude that next sentence is solid. I can stand on it, and I can challenge it, I can jump on it, and I can understand it.
Can't break it.
No. I you know, it's you know, how many times you have to step off the cliff and find it solid before you're secure in that. I mean, I've jumped on it a million times. It's absolutely solid. You know, you can be trusted implicitly. You know, and to just let go of all the hesitancy and just get in there and grab a hold of that sentence, you know, and understand it.
Let go and let God.
Yeah, you can do it. You know, you really can. And as soon as you do that, the journey really starts to come alive. You really start to feel the book as a flow, you know, as truth, you know, rather than static sequence of words, fact. You know, it really starts to flow when you can trust and go with it. You know, obey the truth. You know? Don't try to somehow believe it. You know, obey it. All right.
Human beings have learned that the motion of the invisible may sometimes be discerned by observing its effect on the visible. And we in the universes have long since learned to detect the movements and trends of supremacy by observing the repercussions of such evolutions in the personalities and patterns of the grand universe. Though we are not sure, we believe that as a finite reflection of paradise deity, the supreme is engaged in an eternal progression into outer space. But as a qualification of the three absolute potentials of outer space, This supreme being is forever seeking for paradise coherence, and these dual motions seem to account for most of the basic activities in the presently organized universes. Okay. The nature of the supreme. Oh, want me to stop?
Yeah, no. I was just going to say that, you know, that's meant to kind of just, you know, stand as it is. You know, they're just kind of making a final flourish statement. You know, you've got these two flows. And just maybe, well, as long as we stopped here, just note the one thing that they're very careful in their language. When they were looking outward, they said supreme. And when we went, you know, or bottom up, really, maybe I should say it here, you know, they said supreme. But top down, they said supreme being. You know, top down, you have the full supreme being. And then, you know, it's downstepping. He's downstepping himself into the finite. You know, and so they use supreme being, see, from that perspective. So, you know, they're very careful about the language here to try to start to get you to really, you know, see the two directions of it and talk about this with ease.
Does somebody else want to read?
No.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you do a great job.
Thanks for speaking for all of us.
And you notice it's not, you know, in the title paper entitled The Supreme Being, the last section is not the nature of the supreme being, it's the nature of the supreme. As you can see, but I really... You know, they want us to get, you know, the whole notion of this full, complete, finite, downstepped expression of the Universal Father, the Supreme Being, well, that's all fine and dandy, but that's way then, you know, or, you know, beyond us in Havona, and you know, as an absentite phenomenon, you know, what about us? You know, how do we really fit into this? And, you know, for there, just trying to downstep the notion of an absolute infinite father into a supreme being, it's like, okay, so that's the supreme. That doesn't get you very far, you know. What you really need to understand is the supreme, the deity, the nature of that deity, not the eventual completed individuality, the, you know, the being, the supreme being. Yeah.
The nature of the supreme. In the deity of the supreme, the Father, I am, has achieved relatively complete liberation from the limitations inherent in infinity of status, eternity of being, and absoluteness of nature. But God Supreme has been freed from all existential limitations only by having become subject to experiential qualifications of universal function. In attaining capacity for experience, the finite God also becomes subject to the necessity, therefore. In achieving liberation from eternity, the Almighty encounters the barrier of time, and the Supreme could only know growth and development as a consequence of partiality of existence and incompleteness of nature, non-absoluteness of being.
Just, you know, one little thing there. You know, it's the purpose of bringing in the Almighty. When we think about, you know, that downstepped expression of the functionality of the Trinity of supremacy, giving rise to the finite upholder, the finite mother, you know, you can just conceive of that, you know, there it's done. But very fundamentally with the Almighty aspect of this picture, it's very time limited, or encounters the barriers of time, you know, and that barrier is literally visualizable in the sevenfold when you picture both the controller side and the creator side. You know, you immediately can imagine the absolute power of the universal controller coming down and being expressed in the master physical controllers down on the bottom level. Okay, boom, it's there. But this getting across the gap to the other side, that's the barrier of time, that gap. You don't instantaneously connect this with this. You do it through time. It's an evolutionary process to take matter through mind to spirit. Okay. You know, and that's why you know, it's you need to call the, you know, those three aspects of the seven absolutes of infinity absolute potentialities, you know, because you start on this side, it's just pure potential, and you're through time, through an evolutionary process, you're actualizing some of that potential, and it just necessarily takes time. So literally, you know, it's that circuit that's giving rise to the Almighty, you know, down, across, and up into the supremacy level, you know, to give rise to the Almighty Supreme, you know, with it being guided by the, you know, absolute creators, you know, above here on, the, on that leg. But, you know, that flow has this barrier of time in it. You know, it's not this smooth flow like the mother is. It has this barrier, okay? And that, so they, you know, you can just literally picture that, that I've got to get from one side of the sevenfold over to the other, okay? And that doesn't happen by fiat, okay?
The reason for that setup, again, you know, the reminder to all of us for that is it allows for creature participation in all of this. The whole point of the setup of evolution is to allow co-creation. To allow, you know, I do not get to be the co-creator of my better self to come, except for the fact of the Supreme, except for the fact for that time gap between spiritual and material realities and an incomplete mind that then allows me to participate in that whole process. You know, with that barrier gone, my participation is gone. And I'm a finaliter already, or not really a finaliter. I am what a proto-finaliter would be without experience, something like a creature trinitized son. And I don't get to do that. Instead, I must choose this experience and become part of it in order to have the experience be part of me and become a finaliter as a result of it. I mean, that's one concrete example. And for the Supreme doesn't get to be the Supreme except by slowly growing in control. The Supreme is not going to be able to be the Supreme Mind that then can extend into outer space and function there the way he'll need to be functioning without participating on this level and being self-participating and growing in that process.
Yeah, just another thing to think about that differential that you were first referring to about how it allows you, you know, to be an experiential phenomenon. If the whole, you know, because you know it's the total finite that's involved in the Supreme, not the parts, but the total finite. If the total finite was not an evolutionary phenomenon, if it just crossed this barrier all at once, there could be no parts that could be spread out through time. You would just immediately be reabsorbed. You know, the instant you would be put, expressed in parts, you would instantly be reabsorbed into the whole. You know. You know,
and where's the fun in that?
Yeah, there, see, the whole point is to, you know, is to break the unity of the I am, you know. And again, you know, this separation of the first act of, I am that which acts, you know, is that bifurcation, you know, to split the infinitude in two. Not a little bit, but an infinite distance. So that this process, this sequence can go on forever. There can be a flow forever. If it was just a little bit, it would instantly have been resolved and everything would have been reabsorbed. Okay? It has to be absolutely separated so that absolutely you can be forever. You know, it can't be anything short of absolute and infinite, that separation, or you cannot exist. And all we've done is just downstep that to the, you know, to the level of the supreme and the finite here, you know, and seeing that that's that first immediate thing. If the total finite, you know, doesn't have that separation, then you can't. You know, the whole thing has to have that. The whole picture. You know, is there a... Oh, yeah.
Well, I was just thinking it's probably beyond the book, but
don't hurt yourself.
Well, they say that the Father, there was no time where the I Am existed by itself, but that initial, where they talk about in the foreword, that initial, you know, Sadler called it the jailbreak, you know, Sadler Jr. But it says a divorcement from, I mean, that took faith by the original I Am. Maybe he was exercising faith. I don't know, you know, but it's like there was never a time when he was by himself anyway, so.
Okay. You know, and I mean, maybe just one little comment there. I mean, do, you know, how that ties into what we've talked about in the past. Universal Father freed himself from the fetters of unqualified infinity. The Supreme Being freed himself from the fetters of unqualified supremacy. You know, no matter what it is that you talk about on the infinite level, you know, it is downstepped. You know, and there it is down at the finite level. That process of total will separating from total deity, you've got it happening down here too. Because even all is said and done in the finite, the Supreme Being has freed himself from the fetters of unqualified supremacy. The mother goes on. The finite mother becomes the absolute mother. You know, just as when the first source and center freed himself from the fetters of unqualified infinity, this doesn't all just evaporate. The whole goes on because there's an individuality of the whole. If there wasn't, as soon as the first source and center pulled himself out of it, this would all just evaporate. Something has to be there that holds this together. You know, in spite of this absolute individuation, apart from it now, you know, there has to be a mother and a father, or you don't have the picture. There has to be that which holds this together, you know, at the same time that there's this infinite tension now that would rip it apart because the first source and center being separate. Yeah. That is, you know, and it's just, you can just begin to see that the more you see it in the infinite eternal ellipse, the fact that there's two sides to the original, all that is tied together. And you'll just see, as we finish this section, how they begin to invoke that imagery, you know, in the very way they talk about the Supreme.
Chris, yep. You're saying about what happens in higher levels happens in the lower level. Mm-hmm. And, as we have the thought adjusters to guide us, they say that what the mystery monitors are to humans, the Paradise Trinity is to the Supreme Being.
Yeah, but you're getting ahead of us. Yeah, and when we get to that statement, you know, coming up here in a little while, you know, we see if we can really see the full ramifications of those statements now. And once you have the full mother picture in play.
This is a very tricky, slippery, elusive concept. Yeah. This is a very, this business of God the Mother.
Yeah, well, let's read the rest of that, and you'll see that they know that, and so they start to give it some solidity right away in this section. You'll see it here. You got one more quick thing?
Well, I was just going to say, because I reread all the stuff before tonight, coming up to what we did here today, but they seem to refer to the I Am as that aspect of when the original I Am separated, and you got the Father or the first source and center out, and then it is underpinning the triodities, it's underpinning the seven absolutes, it's underpinning all these the functions of the triunities. And I think that's what you're referring to, is that upholder aspect of the I Am.
It's just so key.
You're just taking it a bit more clarification than what the book is at least doing here in this paper.
Just one little thing there. Anyway, I brought it up just a little bit ago, and they alluded to it. That whole functionality that's coming from that one side of the original, the triunities. That's not the only functionality in the cosmos. There's a functionality this direction too. You know, what do you call the functioning of the Supreme on the ultimate level? I mean, that's the supreme, the Trinity on the ultimate level, the Trinity of ultimacy. What do you call it on the supreme level? The Trinity of supremacy. That's a functionality that's not part of the triunities. See, it's very important to see that there's two functionalities. One of the functionalities, you know, has a root in the first center, so it has aspects. The other one, on the other side, you know, it's a perfectly flat plane is how you can visualize it. You know, and that's why they say that, you know, it doesn't really make any sense to say that the Trinity has aspects, but it definitely has function. You know, because just think about it literally as an infinite flat plane, featureless plane, that, you know, an aspect, you know, would be what? You know, but it has functionality. It is the function, and when, you know, it gives rise to a wholeness in the face of this beginning of individuation. You know, if you look at that, you know, the universal one of infinity, the two sides, one side is flat and the other side, you know, think of it as a mound, you know, that flares out and spreads to infinity. You know, there's a center point to it, center peak to it on that side. That's the first center, you know, and from that stems all this, that which is absolutely centered, i.e. individuated. But on the other side is what maintains the whole in the face of the individuation. The mother maintains the whole in the face of the father's individuation. You know, the father gave you a personality, absolutely individuated you. You know, and you know, sure it would be nice if he didn't just bubble me off from the rest of the universe by that act. See? He can't, because there's another side. There's the whole. There's the, you know, and when you look back, you see this side, you see the all are, just like you look back this side and you see the I am. They're one and the same thing, but from the two different sides.
She's the reason he's got the freedom.
Yeah. I mean, she literally is the way for his will.
Yeah. She's quite a homemaker.
Oh. Okay.
Does the father experience us through the mother?
I mean, the father, you know, experiences us at the point where father and mother come together. You know, remember, the adjuster really is that point. You know, I mean, the father's existential. So as on the purely existential end, the first center end, can't experience us. But you go all the way to the remote ends of existentiality, lastly, the infinite upholder, and you find the point at which experience can be, the point at which experiential can be tacked on to existential. Yeah. You know, so I mean, again, that's the significance of the father giving you, you know, this measure of that reservoir, the infinite upholder, this fragment, this father fragment. So that, you know, he actually has a connection to you. And through that, I mean, he doesn't directly acquire experience, but he is, in, you know, he is as close to experience as you can get. There's no gap there. You know, he's on the interface of experience. He's lastly the infinite upholder. That's the interface of the, you know, to the experiential. So here's all that's actually experiencing, and he feels the surface of it. And so he's in contact with the experiential. Okay.
All this must be according to the Father's plan, which has predicated finite progress upon effort, creature achievement upon perseverance, and personality development upon faith. By thus ordaining the experience evolution of the Supreme, the Father has made it possible for finite creatures to exist in the universes, and by experiential progression sometime to attain the divinity of supremacy.
So there we talked about that, you know, with Andre. The point that Andre brought up is right there.
Yeah.
Just a little technical thing. divinity of capital S supremacy. If they don't want to say all of that, they use lowercase s supremacy. Lowercase s supremacy in the book is the divinity of capital S supremacy. Because capital S supremacy, that's the functioning of capital D deity on the supreme level. Yeah. The divinity related thereto is lowercase s supremacy. What was that?
How's that again?
So they're, you know, they're parallel. Deity, capital, divinity, lowercase. You know, go back to the beginning of the foreword. Capital S supremacy, lowercase s supremacy. Now there's three things there. Predicated finite progress upon effort, creature achievement upon perseverance, and personality development upon faith. That should remind you of something if you reflect on that. What you're related to by the three cosmic intuitions. Okay? And the words that they give, single words to reflect those three domains, causation, duty, worship. See? Causation, you know, you're not going to get some, you know, this progress upon effort, you know, related to causation. If you want that, you've got to do this. Creature achievement upon perseverance, you know, the relationship to duty. Okay. And of course, as soon as you mention faith, that's, you know, that's related to the third cosmic intuition. That's how you have faith, is through the third cosmic intuition, spiritual insight. Okay. They're giving you a little reminder of how you've been given by the mother, you know, the ability to do this with the three cosmic intuitions. Okay.
Including the supreme and even the ultimate, all reality, excepting the unqualified values of the seven absolutes, is relative. The fact of supremacy is predicated on paradise power, sun personality, and conjoint action. But the growth of the supreme is involved in the deity absolute, the unqualified absolute, and the universal absolute. And this synthesizing and unifying deity, God Supreme, is the personification of the finite shadow cast athwart the grand universe by the infinite unity of the unsearchable nature of the Paradise Father, the first source and center.
Okay. I've already, you know, giving you some more that we've talked about. One little key thing that they did in there. And this synthesizing and unifying deity. Okay. Specifically, how do we talk about those two aspects of the Supreme? Creature, creator, unifying deity. Okay? That's fundamentally happening through the Mother. You know, because, you know, for this distinction is vital in a cosmic sense. I mean, you're not going to get creature and creator connected with each other, except in relation to the whole and through the individuality of the whole. The only way that that creature-creator unifying phenomenon happens is through the individuality of the whole, through the Mother. Okay, so unifying, that's one way of thinking about the Supreme, creature-creator unifying. Synthesizing, that's power-personality synthesizing. That's the Almighty. Power, personality, the two sides of the sevenfold, synthesizing. Okay? So those are the two key things related to the Supreme. Power, personality, synthesis, and creature-creator unification. One is the flow that's called the Almighty, and the other is the flow that's called the Mother.
To the extent that the triodities are directly operative on the finite level, they impinge upon the Supreme, who is the deity focalization and cosmic summation of the finite qualifications of the natures of the absolute actual and the absolute potential.
Okay, quiz time.
Quiz time, oh gosh.
There's an and there, with two things on each side of it. Deity focalization. Is that the Almighty or the Mother?
Mother.
Right. So here's to Andre's question. a way that I can begin to very directly think about the, you know, the nature of the phenomenon that it is the mother. Deity focalization. You have parts, and they're only connected with each other in relation to the whole and through the individuality of the whole. She is, you know, the facet of deity that is the mother is a focalizing facet. It connects parts together through it, through that facet of deity. Mother facet is a deity focalization phenomenon. So everything is all spread asunder. There's no brotherhood of man. If only something could bring it all to a focus. The mother. Deity focalization. And then, of course, so cosmic summation is which facet?
The Almighty.
The Almighty. Okay. Summation, focalization. Okay. The Almighty flow is a summation phenomenon. You're taking all the power and you're synthesizing it in relationship, you know, to personality, the individuality and the unity, you know, being synthesized, okay, and summing up that whole process. You know, that's happening all over in the finite, this summation phenomenon. And you have an expression of that summation in the total, and that's the Almighty. Okay. But the focalization part is the mother part. Okay.
The Paradise Trinity is considered to be the absolute inevitability. The seven master spirits are apparently Trinity inevitabilities. The power, mind, spirit, personality, actualization of the Supreme must be the evolutionary inevitability.
Okay, this is really... Okay. Power, mind, spirit, personality. Power, mind, spirit, personality. Okay. That's the four blocks on the chart. Okay. With the only variation that we are, you know, imposing pattern upon the matter. So it's power. It's the reality.
Finally, this chart means something.
Okay. Now let's add a whole new aspect to your understanding here. Okay. Because we know we have two flows. We have this twofold character of the Supreme, and they just gave it four things: the power, mind, spirit, personality, actualization of the Supreme. Well, what do you suppose that the four things split into two pairs? Yeah, and what would they be? Well, synthesizing. Power, personality, synthesis. Power, personality, synthesis. What did he say that phenomenon was called? Almighty. The Almighty. Okay, so the power and the personality part, that's the Almighty. Mind, spirit. That's the mother. Okay, there's another way to understand the difference between the two. And when someone asked me, I think over here a while back, about the mother, the upholder, what is she upholding always, be it on the finite or the absolute or whatever? What is that upholding doing? It's upholding the harmony, the universal harmony in mind and spirit. Okay, she is upholding the universal harmony in mind and spirit. Mind, that's the mother part. The power personality is the Almighty part. One's a synthesis. Okay. See, so the action of the mother, the upholding, combined with this synthesizing phenomenon gives rise to all four of those together as one, that's the Supreme. Power, mind, spirit, personality.
Chris?
Yep.
These inevitabilities,
mm-hmm.
Can they
possibly all coalesce for a super additive on top of all those?
Yeah.
In the ultimate, maybe.
Sure, yeah. Okay. I mean, all these things have, yeah, right. Inevitable consequences. All right.
God the Supreme does not appear to have been inevitable in unqualified infinity, but he seems to be on all relativity levels. He is the indispensable focalizer, summarizer, and encompasser of evolutionary experience, effectively
yeah.
unifying the results of this mode of reality perception in his deity nature. And all this he appears to do for the purpose of contributing to the appearance of the inevitable eventuation. The super experience and super finite manifestation of God the ultimate.
Yeah. That's you, Mike.
Yeah. Right. I purposely didn't, you know, because I knew it was coming up.
He's always the
experience. I wanted you to experience the next paragraph. But okay. We had three things there, and we recognized two. What did you have there? Focalizer. That's which fat? What do we call that?
Mother.
The mother. Summarizer. The Almighty. What's the encompasser? Well, there's one other part to this that we haven't brought in yet. It's coming up immediately in the next paper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've got the mother, the Almighty, and the Supreme Mind. The encompasser. Okay. That's the other aspect of the totality of, you know, that's going to come together as the Supreme Being.
If you're learning as a hook.
Yep. They're segueing into the next paper here. But to really see it as that, you know, we immediately, you know, have gotten figured out the focalizer, summarizer part, and so it just immediately begs the question, well, what's the, you know, of course, anyone who's read ahead is like, oh, yeah, what about, oh, yeah, of course, it's the Supreme Mind, you know, that encompasses it. You know, that's how it's, that's, you know, what's behind the synthesizing and the unifying. You know, the mind is encompassing those verbs. You know, it's what's, you know, behind that action, the God of action, synthesizing, unifying the Supreme Mind, you know. So right, we'll get to the you know that story in the next paper.
So kind of act result plays out there.
Yeah, and there's just so many things you can think about in terms of, you know, of super additive and you know just yeah, just let all those thoughts start to play in your mind, you know, and you can see the fullness of the picture that is the Supreme.
The Supreme Being cannot be fully appreciated without taking into consideration source, function, and destiny, relationship to the originating Trinity, the universe of activity, and the Trinity ultimate of immediate destiny. By the process of summating evolutionary experience, the Supreme connects the finite with the absolute, even as the mind of the conjoint actor integrates the divine spirituality of the personal Son with the immutable energies of the Paradise Pattern, and as the presence of the universal absolute unifies deity activation with the unqualified reactivity. And this unity must be a revelation of the undetected working of the original unity of the first father cause and source pattern of all things and all beings.
Sponsored
by a mighty messenger temporarily sojourning on your ranch.
Okay.
Interesting to note that's one time mortal.
Yeah, we'll get to that in 1 second.
Really?
Just let's just note a couple things that they're doing there. That the very last statement is reminding you of the two sides of the sevenfold. Okay, at the top of the personal creator side, you have the first father cause, and at the top of the controller, power side, you have the source pattern. Okay, I mean, just another way, you know, words to give to, you know, usually you just say universal father, universal controller, okay, but, you know, thinking more functionally about it, okay, there's the first father cause and the first source pattern, you know, giving rise to the two sides of the sevenfold. So they're invoking that, you know, and if you've got those two sides, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if something could, you know, would be literally involved in the linkage from matter through mind to spirit. It's obviously mind, the supreme mind, you know, coming up next in the next paper. You know, and look what else they did. They, you know, this, even as the mind of the conjoint actor integrates the divine spirituality of the personal son and the immutable energies of the paradise pattern. You know, I referred to that earlier. You know, literally the relationship between the substance of the isle and the substance of the son's body is the absolute mind, the conjoint actor. Okay, and then of course you've got the unqualified absolute and the deity absolute, and the super additive consequence of that relationship. You know, as reservoirs, this is a reservoir for matter. This is a reservoir for spirit substance. And the universal absolute is the reservoir for mind energy. Okay, so they're just completely pointing you, see, to where they're going to go next. With that little tease of the encompasser there, mind. You know, they want to bring in mind into the picture next. One other little tidbit to note, by the process of summating. Okay, why doesn't it say by the process of summing? Why does it say summating?
It's kind of like eventuating.
Because they like to find all of
what does the A-T-E suffix do? Okay. What is the, I mean, by putting the A-T-E suffix on there, what are they?
Doing the process?
No, no. Like, think of incarnate.
It's an act. It's an act.
Putting it in a. Yeah.
See, by the process of summating evolutionary experience, the Supreme. So the Supreme isn't just standing over here summing this stuff up over there. You know, literally, he is the sum. You know, the ATE means it's been made substance in him. Okay? And then what I believe is you, Michael, the mighty messenger. You know, we haven't brought this up yet, but those of you who you know, been reading for a long time know that these first four papers of the five are written by a mighty messenger. Yeah, and yes, a one-time mortal, but more to the point, why was he picked to, you know, make such a huge contribution?
Or she.
Only reason I said he is, you know, now functioning in a very point-like phenomenon of moving around. It could have been a former he or a former she, yes, in terms of a mortal. But a mighty messenger is a mortal, inducted into the core of finality, but then immediately embraced by
the Trinity.
Yep. Okay, so who was tasked with the process? Someone who knows where humans are coming from, where they're starting, how they initially have got the father notion, and they need to be gently guided towards the mother notion. Someone who started out just like we did and has been embraced by the source of the mother, the Trinity. What better person, you know, to actually do that, you know, to very methodically get us to the center of these five papers, you know, to God the Mother there in that center section of these five papers. Again, you know, just there's no end to, you know, how beautifully constructed this all is.
Okay. Also, okay. A mighty messenger had a thought adjuster.
Yeah, well, they're, yeah, they're
still,
yeah, fused with their thought adjusters. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas a Melchizedek does not.
Right. Okay, so we've just attempted to extend our consciousness outward, you know, and grab a hold of a greater measure of the whole. Now what do we need to do? We need to use our gift and our relationship with God the Father, just saying, to bring it together. And so we go into the reflection time I'll invoke that reminder, you know, to realityize what you've now grabbed a hold of, what you've now recognized. Bring it into your individuality. Okay, let's take a moment here.